We're going to talk some Blue Jackets hockey as we bring in Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. Happy New Year, sir. How are you today?
Well, Happy New Year to you guys as well. Glad to be along with you. Things are going well. Hope they are in Northeast Ohio as well.
They are, and we still have that Happy New Year shelf life, right? I mean, like, people always talk about
it. You're getting at the outside. I'm not going to lie to you. You're it's getting a little long, as somebody once said on an Adam Sandler CD.
I'd forgotten all about that line in that CD. I love both CDs were actually terrific. But Adam Sandler aside, my friend, the Columbus Blue Jackets now officially past the halfway point of the season. So that gives us an opportunity here to take a look at some of the highs and lows from the first half of the season. What are some of your biggest takeaways thus far?
Well, the only thing that's been consistent with this team is inconsistency. And, you know, some nights they'll look like world beaters and lose. Some nights they'll look very pedestrian and win. And other nights you get the expected result. They've got two All-Stars. They could have another, certainly with the way Artemi Panarin has played. But the setup of the All-Star game doesn't really allow for three teams to get an All-Star very often. Or, excuse me, one team to get three All-Stars very often. So this is a group that they still have to figure out the power play. They are showing that for a Blue Jackets team now, we have to preface that because this franchise is still much younger than the other franchises. This is now a team that has consistency in that they've made the playoffs each of the last 2 years. They look like a playoff team again this year, but they're still looking to take that next step. And in order to do that, I mean, you just have to beat bad teams consistently, and you have to be able to hang with the good teams. And, of course, in the next matchup, they are going to have a big, big test against Tampa Bay.
This should be a lot of fun coming up tomorrow night. But you alluded to it, Ryan. I mean, the inconsistencies with this team, has that been sort of just chalked up to the youth? I know Foligno's called them out earlier on the year. I mean, why can't they seem to find that stride? Are they still working on the chemistry thing?
I don't think it's a chemistry thing. This group has largely been intact now for the last 3 years. I mean, you added Riley Nash and Anthony Duclair this year, and really that was about it. So the core has been together. They've grown together. They are a young team, but, I mean, I don't know how long you can use that excuse because, as John Tortorella says all the time, this is a young league now. The teams seem to get younger and younger all the time. It's a faster league. The old grinders, the enforcers, the beat-em-up hockey doesn't exist on a very regular level anymore. So while there are young players, I mean, you think about a guy like Ryan Murray, who's been around forever, but is still very, very young. Yeah, there's youth there, but everybody has youth. At some point, you've got to put that in the rearview mirror. I mean, listen, one of their best players, Pierre-Luc Dubois, is 20 years old, and he has been just about as consistent as anybody this year. So don't tell him about youth. And certainly don't tell John Tortorella that this team is too young to compete. This group has been together now largely for 3-plus years in a lot of cases. You know, Artemi Panarin came last year, and he is certainly a difference maker. But no, they just have to find something, and I don't have the answer. If I did, sure, I'd be on the payroll and making a lot more money sitting behind the bench. But they're going to have to figure something out, certainly, because once playoff time comes, you're dealing with the cream of the crop, and they are going to have to get past probably both of Washington and Pittsburgh if they want to get anywhere deep into the playoffs. And those are very talented teams that have not only got youth and talent, but they have figured out how to win the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly. Ryan, you kind of pointed out there, too, a little bit about Riley Nash. I mean, that's a guy I think they brought in expecting a few more goals, but I know Torts has been high on him, talking about his play on some of those back lines and the physicality he brings to it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have guys like Riley, obviously, that are they expected him to be more of a top-flight player than what he has been. He's been a fourth-line guy. He hasn't scored hardly at all. And I think largely there's been a lot of disappointment in and around Columbus at the performance of Riley Nash. But he does do some of those intangible things. Now, they also brought him in hopefully to do a little bit better job on the face-off dot because as a team, the Jackets are not very good in draws. And Riley Nash has been terrible. He's among the worst in the league at taking draws among guys who have over 200 on the season. So that's something that he has not done well. He has not scored. But he does provide some grit. And I mean, he's not a fighter type of guy, but he is sound in his positioning and things of that nature. But they do want more out of him. They don't expect him to score like Anthony Duclair can, but they expected more, and they're going to have to get more if they want to go anywhere.
Ryan, one of the things I've found most interesting on the year is the talk about this team possibly scoring more goals than any other Blue Jackets team in the history of the organization, yet the power play just can't seem to connect there. What are they saying about that? I mean, how can that be that when you're even strength, you're scoring all these goals, but when you get the power play, it seems like more goals go in for the other guys than do you?
It's a really weird thing. They're dead last in the league in the power play, and you would think that a team that can't score with the man advantage is going to be pretty stark offensively, but they're not. As you said, they're on pace to be the highest scoring team in Blue Jackets history, and again, with the caveat that that history doesn't go back to the 1960s or the 1950s or the 70s or whatever the case may be. So you have to look at it through that lens. But to have both your highest scoring team and the worst power play in the league seems to be a bit of an oxymoron. I guess one of the things that it comes down to is the Jackets, particularly lately, are not getting a ton of power play chances, which may be just as well. I mean, you would like to think that you can work through that, find your stride, but they're just throwing basically anything at the wall they can right now to see what'll stick. They're not going with traditional power play units. They're basically going with their top five players, which includes two defensemen, and they're trying basically to find a mix that can get something going on the power play. That's another one of those things. When it abandoned them during the playoffs last year against Washington, it really, really cost them. So maybe you can get by during the regular season with a power play that really stinks. There's no other way to say it. But come playoff time, if you can't score when you have those opportunities in games with a razor-thin margin, you're going to be hard-pressed to move on to the next round.
We're speaking with Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget, on Thursday, you can catch Blue Jackets hockey here on AM 930 WEOL. 6:45, pregame coverage begins. They're hosting the Nashville Predators. That's one of four games that the CBJ have on the docket throughout the week. Boy, earlier in the interview, Ryan, you mentioned the name Ryan Murray. Seems like he's finally coming around a bit. What's been the biggest difference for him this year?
It's really, really easy. Health. Just the fact that Murray can stay on the ice, that's been the bugaboo against him his entire career. He just could not stay healthy. And they were the kind of injuries that aren't necessarily the preventable kind that somebody can point to something and say, this is what you're doing wrong. But Murray kind of over the offseason took more responsibility for his own health and approached things maybe in a little bit of a different way. And when he was hurt early, he kind of said, listen, I'm not coming back till I'm right, and made sure that he was fully healthy and ready to go. So there is some luck involved with any player, whether you get injured or not, but that's been the thing that's kept Murray from reaching what the Jackets think to be his potential. And this year, just through health, his play has been able to show the NHL what he is capable of doing. Again, still a very young guy. He spent a lot of time paired with Seth Jones on the top pair, particularly late in games when they have a lead and they're looking to shut things down defensively. So just the ability to stay on the ice has really allowed Ryan Murray to blossom.
We talked about the All-Stars for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Cam Atkins and Seth Jones are going to go to San Jose to play in that game. But you mentioned Artemi Panarin. It seems Ryan Murray's another, if they put more defensemen in, it's going to be a three-on-three tournament, essentially, for those who aren't familiar with the NHL All-Star game. But Ryan Murray seems to be one of those guys who possibly could have been brought up in that conversation as well, no?
Yeah, I think the sexy pick, if you had to go with another defenseman, obviously would be Zach Werenski. Though he has struggled at times defensively this year, he is still one of the most pure scorers along the blue line in the National Hockey League. I think he's third since he entered the league among defensemen in goals. So he's a guy that certainly has had to shore up the defensive end of his game this year, and it's cost him some ice time being put down on the second and a time third pair. But, yeah, Murray has certainly played in such a fashion that he should be garnering some national attention as a very, very good defenseman in the NHL. And then, of course, Artemi Panarin. And Sergei Bobrovsky has had nights where he has looked like an all-star, but he's also had some nights where he doesn't look like the kind of guy who's going to command a long-term contract come free agency if he gets there.
Ryan, earlier you mentioned consistency has kind of been an issue throughout the course of the season. The power play always gets talked about as one of the bugaboos for the Blue Jackets. Outside of those two, what are some other areas do you think they've really got some room for improvement?
Well, I think the penalty kill has slipped a little bit. It was top 10 in the NHL there for a little while. They're about middle of the pack right now. So and they have faced a couple of teams recently that have really good power plays. But that's an area certainly where you always want to be able to get something, maybe not going offensively to spark you, but certainly keep the other team off the board. They just have to get Alexander Wennberg. I mean, it seems such a strange thing, because last year Wenny really didn't do a whole lot, and there was a lot of talk about his role in the organization. But if Alexander Wennberg can really get going and become, again, a prominent second-line center, which the Jackets are kind of going without this year. They're putting Boone Jenner in there. They've had Nick Foligno in there at center. Brandon Dubinsky has settled into that third-line role, and he's done a nice job in his minutes. But really, if Alexander Wennberg can get going and be the player he was 2 years ago when the Blue Jackets felt very confident signing him to a pretty good contract, they're going to be a much, much better team. If he continues to be a problem in that spot, well, it's going to be hard to go very deep into the playoffs, because, again, talking about a team like Washington or Pittsburgh, where they can roll 2-3 scoring lines at you, if you can't match that, you're going to be in big trouble.
Well, a very busy week lined up for the CBJ, Ryan. Give us a preview as to what's coming up. 4 games between now and the end of the week. A really, really loaded slate for you guys.
Yeah, it certainly is, and you want to talk about those first couple probably more than anything else, because you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But the game coming up tomorrow against Tampa Bay is the big one. That's, I think, the one everybody's pointing to. They played Toronto the other day, and it was a good benchmark game, although John Tortorella said he doesn't want to look at things like that. He wants other teams to measure against the Blue Jackets. But in reality, Toronto is the second-best team on paper in the National Hockey League, or were at the time, and Tampa Bay is the top team. So when you're looking at where are we right now, because not only from a coaching perspective, Jarmo Kekäläinen has to look at where his team is and make decisions based upon something we've talked about throughout the course of the season, those two looming unrestricted free agent Russians in Panarin and Bobrovsky. What do you do with those two players? You have more options with Brett than you do with Bob because of his no-movement clause. But these types of games, you can't put too much stock into any one game. But you can look at your team and say, okay, we're a contender, or realistically, we're not. And then the front office has some decisions to make, certainly, and the Blue Jackets can look at that. And, you know, Nashville is another game, as you mentioned, coming up. They're a very quality team. The Jackets haven't seen a lot of the Central Division yet this year. So there's a whole lot coming up here. The Jackets are a little bit lighter in January than they were in December because they have their mandated 5-day break, which butts up against the All-Star break. So they have a nice long respite. There were 3 days off in between games prior to and after New Year's Day. So they've had some rest. So the fact that there are so many games coming up in such a short period of time, they're rested heading into it. They'll have some rest afterwards. The question, of course, is going to be what happens when they're on the ice that many hours over that short a period of time.
You mentioned that 5-day break butts up against the All-Star break. You think that helps more so than it does hurt the Jackets?
I don't know. They'll tell you to take rest whenever they can get it. It's a long time, so there's also going to be some rust. Obviously, the players can't be called in for practice or anything of that nature. And I guess it depends on how you're going at the time, right? If you head in having lost 4 games in a row, maybe it's good to get away. If you're hot, if you've won 4 or 5 straight, you've got points in 6 or 7 straight games, you want to keep going. You want to keep playing. But there's nothing you can do about the schedule. It is what it is. So all you can do is take advantage of that time off, rest, recuperate. The Jackets have been, knock on wood, a very healthy team this year, and all you can do is hope that continues.
Very good stuff. Well, Ryan, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. It's always a blast to have you on, and we will have you on again soon. The next time we have you on, we'll not only be talking about the Blue Jackets, we'll probably mix in some high school wrestling as well.
Oh, I like it.
And as soon
I like
as,
it a lot.
And we're a month away, my friend, from spring training. So, you know, we'll have to dive into a little bit of everything. It'll be kind of a mixed bag the next time we have you on.
I like it, but you're kind of making me sweat with all this stuff coming up.
It's busy, but you know what? Busy is good. It's a lot better than the alternative, is it not?
It certainly is, buddy. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Again, Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.